her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her
man, I'm kind of shocked to see you here, big guy.
Why?
Because, I mean, it's so cold right now that schools are closing today.
I had to, like, get a haircut. I had to fly back and get a haircut.
My wife works at a school, and they do not have school today because it is so cold. And yet here you are, up from, I mean, I understand it's supposed to be like in the 50s in Florida. Ooh, real cold down in Florida. But, I mean, it is, when you woke up today, what was it in your truck?
Minus 12. I think like 35 would be worse.
Huh?
Yeah.
Minus 35 or just 35 degrees?
Just 35 degrees. Because that wouldn't be considered cold here. It'd actually be considered quite nice.
I'll tell you what, pal.
But when it's brutally cold, it's like, is what it is. Right?
I'll tell you what, the next time we hit 35, it's going to feel so nice after going through yesterday, today, and what we're going to have to go through tomorrow when we're basically just below zero for a 48-hour stretch.
It's, you know what it is? It's not even the cold. It really isn't. It's not
Please share. Tell me, what is it?
There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, because it's cold.
Yes. There's nothing to do.
You drink.
Yeah, that's kind of like old. It's like, you went through it. You just told me.
It's true.
Kinnaim wanted you to go out on a Saturday, and it's just like, it's boring. Come on.
What's happening, Captain?
You know?
For those who don't know, Kinnaim is Eric Name of The Athletic.
Should be a
friend
K.
of our show.
It's just boring. There's just nothing. I can't even plan out a day.
Can you start working out yet?
No. I got another 6 days. I mean, I can work out. I'm going to hit the treadmill.
Okay.
Here after.
Just here at the gym we have here?
Yeah. And then I don't know what to do.
This might be a stupid question, but do you do legs?
No. The hell does that legs is, after they're 50 years old?
That is a dumb question,
you see my
Josh.
Quads? Yeah.
So I knew that. What I was asking, though, is you can get the same endorphins going if you do decide to do some sort of leg workout, couldn't you? Like, because that's largely what you're going for here is the rush and the way you feel. So wouldn't that just be a worthwhile replacement?
Josh, I take endorphins in a bottle.
What about one-armed workouts? Okay. Just some curls, one-arm curls, some pull-downs, one arm. You could do it.
I got one more needling, and I think I'm good to go. But I got to change my stuff, man. I just can't be a Neanderthal anymore. It's just so
stupid. What do you mean you can't be a Neanderthal anymore? You being a Neanderthal is what makes this show tick.
No, I know. But I mean, in the weight room, it's just, it shouldn't be doing the weights. I'm just opening up more troubles because it's tough getting old. Even though I don't feel old, inside is old.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm guessing.
Outside's okay.
And I'm guessing that the, playing in the NFL for almost a decade kind of accelerated the old process on the things inside of your body as well. Like, I'm guessing getting as many of those car crashes as you did.
Knock on wood.
Not great.
I'm one of the few guys that haven't had anything replaced.
Feel like you're gonna have anything replaced?
Knock on, this is kind of wood. It's fake wood, but
there's wood in there.
No,
somewhere.
No, I mean the elbow was troubling because I've had this before, but it's just hanging on.
Well, but
I think that's an age.
That's
thing.
An age thing.
Yeah,
you just don't recover as quickly.
Yeah, but I'll be fine. I'll be good. I just got to modify the workout a little bit. You know.
So what? Lighter weights.
Lighter weights, more reps.
Get a little leaner that way.
Probably a little tighter.
Yeah.
I don't know about leaner. I don't know if I want to be leaner. Huh?
Why not?
I mean, you always want to be a little lean.
Sure.
But
what's wrong with being a little bit lean right now? Lean it up, just kind of, you know.
Because it's minus 12 out.
Yeah, but you're not dealing with
this often.
Although, on a day like today, it certainly, you know, certainly helps to not be as lean.
Yeah. I don't think you can fight the body because my body's so conditioned in the wintertime to add 6-7 pounds. I think everyone's is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you put on a little beefy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm starting to feel it. Like, I got a, you know, just, yeah.
Like, what can I do today? I mean, what can I do?
Carlos Talkin' text line, 800-990-3776.
This is what I got so far.
Chewy is bored, and he needs something to do today. What can Chewy do?
9, I'm done. I could bleed it to, I'm going to go on the treadmill here, because you got good treadmills here. Oh, very okay. good.
All right.
That'll take me to 9:35. Is 10 o'clock too early to eat lunch?
Look, man, you can
it's
do whatever you want.
It's typically 11 for me.
Yeah. Well, hey, same here. Like, 11 starts creeping around, and I get a little hungry.
You know what's overrated while we're on
okay.
the subject?
All right. All right. So let me see if I can piece this together. So he's talking about lunch.
Yes.
What are his sandwiches? Sandwiches are overrated?
No. And okay. they don't have it's a specific place. My kids talk it up. No idea?
No idea.
They don't have a lot of them around here. I think they got one. There is no difference between Qdoba and Chipotle. There's zero difference. So my kids disparaged one, and they took me to the other.
They took you to Chipotle. Chipotle's better.
And it's the exact same. There's no difference.
No.
There is zero difference.
See, this is disappointing because I thought you had a good palate. I thought you had a refined palate.
Tell me the difference. What's better?
Literally everything.
Beans are beans. Rice is rice. Lettuce is lettuce.
Steak isn't steak.
Pico is pico.
Chicken's not chicken. Guac's not guac.
What's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the
guac
difference?
Guac sucks, number one. Guac. You know all guac is a filler. That's all it is. It's nothing more than a filler. There's nothing more than a filler. Trust me on that.
What do you mean, trust you?
Sour cream is sour cream.
Sure.
What is the difference? I don't understand what the big deal is. Oh, you gotta go to Chipotle. It's the best.
It just tastes better. No. It's seasoned better. The ingredients are better.
They have that little sauce. It's a little better, but I mean, nothing's beating Cholula.
I don't even know what sauce you're referring to. I've got a list here of things to do in Milwaukee
in winter.
You
don't know what Cholula is?
Of course I know what it is.
Is that how you say it?
Cholula.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've got a list here. Things to do in winter in Milwaukee. Do you want to run down it quick, Chew?
Yeah, let's go.
The Milwaukee Art Museum.
Been there.
Ice skating.
You can't go back?
It's freezing out. No.
Okay. Mitchell Park domes.
Plants don't grow. Maybe they do in there.
Sledding?
It's minus 12.
Ice fishing?
I'm good. I just...
Yeah, Rex of the 262 suggested, Chewy, you live on a lake, go ice fishing.
No, I'm not doing that. It's freezing out.
Milwaukee Public Market.
Oh, get some good lunch over there.
Yeah.
The Urban Ecology Center? What? Discovery World?
I've been there.
Wait, so you can only do new things? I didn't know that
was... How about swimming? Is there anywhere you can... I was swimming in my pool 3 days ago.
I mean, I'm sure you could go like...
I don't want to do something that reminds me that it's minus 12 out.
Isn't there that place off of 94?
I was thinking of more maybe get a spray tan or...
Spray tan?
Go to the old...
Look, you can ask Jen where she gets her spray tan. I don't know where to get that. Yes.
I want to do something that...
You want to simulate summer?
Yes.
Water park.
Oh.
I thought about it.
David says X-Golf.
Ah! Not bad, but I can't.
Elbow.
Got to give it a little time.
Adam says, go to Mequon Bear Arms Shooting Range. They have a simulator. They've got guns you can rent and ammunition. It's all indoors. Great facility.
That sounds good. That's actually a really good suggestion.
You in the Blammer? A little shooting range time?
I saw the Blammer the other day.
Do we trust him around weapons?
What's the problem?
The Blammer and weapons.
Yeah. I
mean, that's a valid point.
Yeah, that's that. Like, again, like, Chewy? Yes, absolutely. I bet Chewy's a marksman.
Yes.
The Blammer, I'd be scared.
One's worse than Brett, though. No one's worse than Brett.
Well, again, think about how many interceptions that dude threw.
Yes.
Can't have those with weapons.
It's a little reckless.
Yeah. That'd be bad.
It's not great.
His poor dog.
What?
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 Well, he had a dog that he goes pheasant hunting with. And,
okay.
You know, you're supposed to let the dog get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
Because when you shoot pheasants, they're pellets. You know, little pellets.
Uh-huh.
Well, supposedly, I think it was him, the dog might have had one pellet in its butt.
Oh, no.
Did I ever tell you the story? They were doing a story on him and me and Frank tagged along.
No.
Right? It was in Sports Illustrated. Okay. I'm sure you saw it. This is probably like 1993. So they were trying to simulate shots. They got one of us fishing and stuff. And it was a hunt club and fish club.
Okay.
So like, Brett, let's get a picture of you shooting a shotgun.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, how can we make this work? I said, well, just get a take that bottle of Coke, dump it out, fill it with water, and then throw it up in the air like it's a bird.
Yeah.
And then he'll shoot. It looked pretty cool. So the photographer gets right in front of him, probably 5 yards away, and he's right up against the water. So one of the other producers takes the full bottle of water, right, to simulate the bird, and throws it up in the air, and it starts to come down, and he's right over the photographer's head. Well, he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting till the bottle is like 15 feet over the photographer's head, and he shoots. The photographer freaked and fell backwards into the water.
Yeah, I'd freak too.
And we're like, what are you doing? I wanted to make sure I hit it. I'm like, it's a simulation, you moron. You almost shot the photographer.
Who cares if you hit the water bottle?
I mean, that's just gun 101, not to be in front of somebody with a
Mississippi.
Button. Yeah,
you know what that means?
It's Brett. He's dumb from Mississippi.
Yeah.
But the photographer didn't say, hey, I don't think this is a great idea. That thought didn't cross his mind at any point?
You know what I think he was? I think he was, you know how they hire a guy locally so they don't have to fly him all over the country?
I think he
was one of those guys, so I think he was just an Uber fan. Probably wouldn't have minded getting shot a little bit.
He could have died.
I'm guessing.
Nah, they were pellets. They were.
I'm guessing.
A shotgun blast from 5 feet away is going to kill
you. Yeah, that's going to sting.
I'm guessing he would have minded being shot. And Brett would have also minded if he shot someone.
Yes.
Would have been bad all the way around.
Would have been horrible. But it all worked out.
We have a lot of suggestions here for things that Chewy can do today. Chewy's bored back in Wisconsin, has nothing to do, doesn't know what to do in the cold. What can you do? John says go electric go-karting at K-Speed in the old American building out in Waukesha.
That's fun. I've done that.
Do you fit in go-karts?
Not really. Have you ever done those things like haul?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They haul. Yeah, they haul. See, normally I could go outside if it was 20, 30.
Yeah.
Go work on the fence. You know, I could find things to do, but it's just you can't do anything.
It's not safe to be outside. And then we have one from Frankie. As a Latino, I agree with Chewy. Qdoba and Chipotle are the same thing.
Thank you.
And they're both horrible.
Probably compared to homemade cooking.
Sure.
Yes, but they are the exact same. You ain't going to tell me any different. Not one lick. Not one lick.
Like, do we? I don't know if we want to pull that one necessarily. Yeah, we're gonna leave that one alone. Great indoor mini golf place on the south side. AB from Milwaukee.
Okay.
All right. We're compiling a list of things for Chewy to do because Chewy is bored. We'll see if Jason has any idea of what Chewy can do here in Milwaukee as Jason Wilde joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, what's up, dude?
Good morning, dudes. How you doing?
Hi, buddy.
So Chewy is here in Wisconsin. Picked a heck of a week to come back from Florida to come to Wisconsin when it's, you know, 13 below or whatever it is outside. You know, school's getting canceled all over the place. But the problem now, Jason, is Chewy's bored. He doesn't know what to do today. He can't work out. He's going to do do some treadmill, do that for about, you know, half hour or so after the show. But he doesn't want to know what to do after that. Do you have any suggestions on what the big guy can do with the rest of his day today?
Well, wait a minute. Why can't he work out? The gym?
I got a bad tennis elbow, Jason. Kind of been on the shelf a little bit.
Yeah, he blew out a sack, and then that kind of kept going, and he's been working on it.
God, is it a dude Tuesday if Jen is here and we drop a and he blew out his sack? She'd be on board with that, right? I
mean, she's
kind of one of the guys. It's funny. We were actually dealing with the same issue. Not a blown out sack, but what do you do when it's bitterly cold and you have the day to yourself? Because the girls school's canceled today up here. And Sid and her basketball teammates got done with practice last night, and they were all kind of talking about, you know, what do we do with our day off of school? I said, why don't you guys do something together? So I think the local bowling alley is open still, even though it's cold. I think they might be doing that or something. So I don't know which sack you blew out, but, you know, bowling, very popular here in Wisconsin.
Jason,
with some of your teammates.
Do you ever go to the stadium just to get away? Go to your office there?
I do, actually, and except I can't do that anymore because they're renovating the Packers locker room this offseason, and temporarily – so, like, for OTAs and the mini camp and for guys to come in and work out with intact sacks, they're using the new third locker room that they just built, which is right by where all of our offices are. So I can't – they were, like, telling us to get everything we might need out of our offices because we won't get back in until training camp. And so – all my poor bobbleheads will have to just live without me for a very long time. But yeah, I do. It's, you know, it's great to, and look, I give the Packers, I criticize them when I feel it's deserved, but there aren't many teams that have beat writers who have their own offices at the facility. And so I'm extremely appreciative of that.
Jason, when you watched the games this weekend, the divisional round games, did you feel that the Packers were close to those teams in the NFC? They have some work to do, but they can get there with a couple of key additions this offseason. How close do you think the Packers are to the other teams in the NFC divisional round?
Yeah, great question, but I looked at it from a different perspective.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't, we were driving back, the girls had a gymnastics meet in Eau Claire, so we were driving back during the Chiefs game, and listening to Kevin Harlan on the call. And then I got to see the rest of the games, more or less. I mean, missed pieces of them. But I thought what I saw underscored what the difference is between the Chiefs, a perennial Super Bowl team, or what is it now, 7 years in a row in the AFC Championship game?
I believe that's correct.
Crazy.
And not just the Packers, but the Ravens, the Lions, and that is the good teams don't beat themselves. And so many times I heard from Love and from the receivers and from Xavier McKinney, you know, we don't feel like we got beat. We feel like we beat ourselves. Well, guess what? The best way to be in seven straight conference championship games is to not beat yourself. And the Packers did it in every game they lost because they're not good enough,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's the differentiator. Like we keep talking, you know, we keep looking at them and you know, all their young talent and this and that and the next thing. And I thought like the Chiefs didn't play great in that game. Right? They weren't dominant. Mm-hmm. We always are looking for the Packers to be dominant. And it reminded me, you guys know I love the movie Moneyball. And there's a scene where you know, there where Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt, is talking to the A's players, and he says, when your enemy's making mistakes, don't interrupt them. And I feel like the Packers, like, you can't turn the ball over four times in a playoff game and have any prayer of winning. But I still can't get over the fact that in the fourth quarter, it was 16-10 because their defense played as well as they did. So, you know, that was my biggest takeaway from the four divisional games, because the Packers, that's the difference between being a really good team and not. Is you may punt on a bunch of possessions, right? You may allow a long drive and then force a field goal. But if you give up a 70-yard touchdown defensively, or you turn the ball over offensively, or you have guys running routes at the wrong depth, or you drop passes all the time. Like, I think I saw a stat during the Lions game that they had 6 drops all year, and then they had 3 in the game. That's how you lose playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And, Chu, I don't know how many, like, I don't know, maybe the Cowboys games are a good example from your era, but I feel like when you guys were really humming, not only were you dominant at times, but you just didn't beat yourself. And that just feels like something that the Packers and many of the other teams that lost this weekend were guilty of.
Jason, Ben Johnson to the Bears. What does that mean? Obviously, it's going to hurt Detroit, you know, offensively, mm-hmm. or it might not. No, nobody knows. But does that mean now there's going to be 4 solid teams in the North, and this is going to be a dogfight for years to come?
Well, I don't know. What I saw on my formerly favorite, now least favorite, social media platform is now this makes Matt LaFleur the 4th best head coach in the division. I mean, gee, talk about not being appreciative of everything that this team has accomplished with him. And I get it. They haven't gotten to the Super Bowl, but to suggest now that some whiz kid who was a good play caller for the Lions is now going to be a better head coach. You know, maybe he will. Maybe he's going to be fantastic in Chicago. But last I checked, he did not invent football, and we're kind of treating him like that.
I mean, he is the one who called for his wide receiver to throw a play that got intercepted, Jason. So
yeah, that worked pretty well. Yeah, I thought that one was good. Yep. But look, the reality is that a couple of years ago, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni looked like, you know, everyone loved Nick Sirianni, right? He was this, you know, different style of coach and this and that. And then he lost both of his coordinators to head coaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they cratered at the end of the 23 season, you know, Philadelphians were ready to run him out of town. And then he got 2 good coordinators, and now he's back in position to go back to the Super Bowl. I would argue that those are really important, and how the Lions manage that and who replaces him and probably Aaron Glenn, right? I mean, it sure looks like Aaron Glenn's either going to get the Jets job or maybe the Saints job. How they do that is going to dictate just how good of a coach Dan Campbell is, because they have an ethos to them that is legit. Like, I admit this all the time when I talk about Dan Campbell. I was a doubter. I watched Hard Knocks that year that they were on, and I was dubious on that the tough guy biting kneecap shtick. I thought that would wear thin on pro players, and they would get sick of it. And I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. But that only takes you so far, and you better have smart people coordinating your offense and your defense, because execution matters. Originality and ingenuity matters, and execution matters, even if you have that kind of attitude. So I'm eager to see what those guys are like next year. I do think Packers fans would have been even better off if the Lions had, like, made it to the Super Bowl and lost, because as Chewy well knows, the next year it's really hard, as opposed to, you know, those guys are like, hey, we had all these injuries and now we're pissed, because we believe we'd have been in the Super Bowl had we not been so unlucky with injuries. So that's going to be a motivated team. I'm really curious what the Vikings are going to look like.
You know, I got a good friend, Judd Zolgad, who covers them up in Minneapolis. I'm fascinated to see what they do at quarterback, because I think Kevin O'Connell is an outstanding coach, but I don't know how you get done with the season and watch Sam Darnold play the way he did in the two big money games, the regular season finale to win the division and in the playoff game, and not doubt him. So I think it's going to be a fascinating year, but I also think after going 0-3 in the playoffs, it's possible that all three of those so-called teams from the best division in football got fat on a bunch of bad divisional, the two division matchups that they had in the, outside their division, and that maybe they weren't as good as advertised.
Jason, Barry Alvarez famously talked about how, you know, he always had a list just in case, you know, somebody moves on, he's ready to go and hit the ground running with the list of candidates he would want to replace that person. Jeff Hafley's not going to get a job in this cycle, but he might get a job in the next cycle or the one after that. And this is something that LaFleur hasn't had to deal with because, well, nobody was asking Mike Pettine or Joe Barry Carroll to be a head coach anywhere. Is he going to have to spend some time this offseason preparing and maybe getting that list ready of potential people he's going to want to talk to for when Jeff Hafley potentially leaves?
I have no doubt that Matt LaFleur has a list already. Now, he does believe in promotion from within, right? I mean, they lost when they lost Nathaniel Hackett, he promoted Adam Stenovich, and Adam Stenovich got a head coaching interview with the Bears, although I think Chewy might have too.
Chewy turned his down.
Yeah.
Because, well, I don't know if he turned it down as much as he couldn't figure out how to open the Zoom link.
I would have had something to do today, though.
There you go. I mean, is Eddie George coaching?
Yeah, he's at Tennessee State.
Chewy's kid coaches on the staff.
Yeah.
So he's the head coach at Tennessee State?
Yeah.
And they interviewed him for the Bears job.
Correct.
Like you know, Eddie George was a fantastic NFL player. We all agree.
Yes.
And I'm sure you would never say anything bad about Tennessee State and the job he's doing, given whose employ your son is. But how many people did they interview ultimately before going with Ben Johnson? Like 25?
It was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot.
It was a lot.
So I would think, like, so I don't, my point was, I don't want to downgrade Adam Stenovich just because they interviewed a bunch of people. But, like, I think LaFleur was pretty confident knowing the previous year, because this is what happened. And forget the fact that he's failed spectacularly since he left, right? Because Nathaniel Hackett not only failed with the Broncos, but then obviously failed with the Jets. But he got interviews in the previous cycle, too. And so I'm sure Matt LaFleur was like, all right, there's a good chance this guy's going to get a job. What's my game plan going to be? And I do think he believes in having a deep bench. Just like the Packers feel like in their personnel department, they've got people that if John Eric Sullivan gets a GM job, they've got people that can step into that role. So I would say, you know, I know Derek Ansley had an interview for a defensive coordinator job. He's been a DC before. They are really high on Ryan Downard, who is kind of a Jeff Hafley clone, mentored by him when they were together in Cleveland like 10 years ago. And Ryan Downard was like in his early 20s. So I don't know that they would make a outside hire next year or, you know, heaven forbid it happens this year, because as a beat writer, I don't want him to get this job either. And I don't think anybody should take the Jets job, frankly, except maybe Chewy.
Well, it looks like that's going to be Aaron Glenn, by the way. The
right.
Jets
sure.
have one second interview scheduled with the head coach, and it's Aaron Glenn.
So, but to your point, there's no doubt that he's thinking about this, because I think, you know, in what he said after the season wrapped up, I think he realizes that he really made a home run hire with Jeff Hafley. And, you know, I understand that Preston Smith felt miscast in the system. I understand that they fired their defensive line coach in part because, you know, they underperformed in that department. But by and large, I think the feeling in that building is that Jeff Hafley is a damn good football coach, and he has the results now to back it up. So I would think that they want to make sure that they not only have people on their kind of ready list who can carry themselves in a similar way to keep that success going, but would keep the system in place too. And I think that's really important.
Jason, who fired Rebrovich? Was it Halfley or was it LaFleur, and is he the last one?
I think it's LaFleur, but I'm assuming that Jeff Halfley goes in and says, look, man, like, that didn't work in part because, you know, he wasn't able to teach what I want him to teach, and I've got a guy in Aaron Whitecotton who will fit the bill, who works for Sala and has worked in the system. Like, I would also add this. I'm not convinced that that group, even if, you know, Fritz Schirmer came back and coached them, would have been productive. I think it's possible that Goody just, that they overestimated mm-hmm. how good their group was, right? I mean, we'll see if they bring, for example, are they going to bring back TJ Slayton, or will his last act as a Packer be drawing that 15-yard penalty and telling me he wasn't talking on locker cleanout day? Will Kenny Clark bounce back? Because I think based on that extension, I think they probably need to keep him another year, even though his production and his level of play dropped in the new system. And remember, he had never been in a 4-3 in his life, like not even in high school, I don't think, but definitely not in college and definitely not Green Bay. So that, to me, that's one of the most important things that they have to improve on in the offseason, is figuring out how do we get these guys to be productive? Because LaFleur said it afterward. Like, the whole idea behind the system is that you don't have to blitz often.
Yeah.
You get pressure with four, mm-hmm. and they just never did.
Jason, certainly appreciate the time, bud. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Look forward to more from you and Tausch coming up at 9 a.m. this morning.
All right, guys. Good luck with your sacks. Take care. Be good.
That's nice of him. Wishing you well.
He is. He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy like that. Yes. We've got some more suggestions for what Chewy can do on the Carpless Talk and text line 800-990-3776, because he's back here in Wisconsin and he's bored because it's so cold. But we will also talk about Ben Johnson being the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coming up next, is your business looking for a localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years. And for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Couple of suggestions on the Carpool's Talk and Text line on a Tuesday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Chewy's back here in Wisconsin, but he's bored because, and look, maybe some of you guys are out there are dealing with this as well, because your kids are home. Jason talked about it with his girls. Hey, what are they going to do today? Because, and like on a typical snow day, it's still cold, but it's not so cold you shouldn't go outside. I mean, it's so cold you should not be, you know, spending prolonged periods of time outside today.
Dangerous to your health.
Yeah, not great. So Chewy's wondering what he can do today. Beth saying Milwaukee area theater showing the movie Major League until the end of the month. Chew, you could go to a movie with your wife.
Too many kids.
Okay.
What do you mean too many kids?
I don't like kids. During my kids.
During the day.
They all have the day off. They're going to be at the movies.
Yeah, but their parents work.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to go see Major League.
Yeah, no.
No? I've never seen it.
Major League isn't a kids movie.
It's rated R.
Does that even matter anymore?
You tell me. You're the one with kids.
In terms of children seeing the movie, yes. I don't think you're going to be seeing 10-year-olds in
not a 10-year-old, yeah. But a 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Has lived in a R-rated world for a long time.
Correct.
So it really doesn't matter.
First R-rated movie I saw in theaters with my parents was American Pie.
Oof. With your parents?
Yeah.
That had to be a little uncomfortable.
I had a buddy.
First booby movie I saw was Stripes.
Okay, sure.
I thought it was going to be like Porky's.
Yeah.
Oh, Porky's was naughty. That was really naughty.
That one does not stand the test of time.
No.
I had a buddy in college who like finally started dating this girl we both knew from high school, and he went up. She was going to school in Minnesota, went up, wanted to take her out on a date, and took her, well, her parents came with, and they saw Wedding Crashers. And for those unfamiliar with Wedding Crashers, that gets uncomfortable in the opening montage.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Of just, yeah. So
I think that's a great one.
See, we weren't allowed to watch R-rated movies in our house. If we, my dad
would
go
crazy. Same. Mm-hmm.
That went away.
Yeah, but that even went away. Like, if I wanted to watch an R-rated movie, like the first PG-13 movie that, like, because my parents wouldn't let me watch, like, I watched it over at a friend's house who their parents didn't care.
I think that's a good question to pair with what should Chewy do. What was the first R-rated movie you saw with your parents? And you can add the where things got awkward.
I don't think I ever
have. I feel
have.
Like everybody has, it is probably maybe a little prior to your generation, Chewy, has that moment where you're watching something, you got something from Blockbuster, and it gets awkward quick.
See, I honestly think the first R-rated movie I watched with my parents, I think it might have been Major League. Because they let me watch, because obviously Uke's in it. It was filmed in Milwaukee. I was a big baseball, you know, fan as a kid. Oh, we'll watch it. And they completely forgot. And there's not really any nudity because, but still, it gets a little awkward when
language.
They're like, well, there's language, but they're also
undressing the owner.
Yes. Like a bit in the movie is the owner's like the showgirl. So they're like taking pieces of clothing off of a cardboard cutout of her. Things are strategically covered when they rip off the last piece.
Iconic movie or no?
Major League?
Yeah. Or is it just here because it was in County Stadium and and all? I've never seen it.
I'm not sure.
Was it in County?
Yeah. The original Major League. Major League 2 was not. But the original Major League was shot in County Stadium because they were looking for a stadium that was old and run down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And of course, County Stadium would stand for a decade longer after that. But I think so, because some of the different podcasts that I listened to talked about remembering Uke from Major League. Like, I don't know if it's this like all-time iconic movie, but in terms of baseball movies, like
if you're a baseball
sports
fan,
you are very familiar with Major League.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Still not going to watch it, but.
Brett saying, I remember seeing Varsity Blues in the theater with my parents. Yep.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
Okay. I watched bits and pieces. What's the actor's name? Nick Nolte?
Val Kilmer.
What?
Varsity Blues? Varsity Blues was Val Kilmer. Was the Bud Kilmer was the name of the coach.
That was Nick Nolte.
It was not Nick
it
Nolte.
It was Nick Nolte.
It was, God,
was
why
Shaq
am I blanking on? No. That's Blue Chips.
Ah, I was close.
That's a different movie. Different sports movie, completely different sport. Varsity Blues, high school football. James Vanderbeek is the quarterback.
John Voight.
Is the coach.
Okay.
And that one has
Varsity
the,
Blues.
The whipped cream.
Wait, yep. Mm-hmm. And also the teacher who's working at an adult club. Yeah. A couple times in that where it could get real awkward if you're watching with
Why
your parents.
Why haven't they ever made a movie on the Packers?
There's plenty, I imagine, that involve them.
What?
Well, not like
Reggie's Prayer.
So you've got
the 60-yard line.
60-yard line. There's the one that's coming out. And
hold on. Production? Never heard of it. The six. I guarantee
Tausch
people have
seen it. I was about to say Tausch was in 60-yard line.
What?
Yeah. There's a coach. Craig T. Nelson is in a Packers movie that's coming out at the end of the month.
In the theaters?
I mean, locally.
All right.
I think that one was produced by Culver's.
Really? That's weak. That's like film festival stuff. I'm talking
but
like...
But they've got Craig T.
Nelson. I'm talking a real movie about the real Vince Lombardi, not rah-rah, sis, boom-ba, about his real life and how he was.
Now, having a Vince Lombardi movie, I think you're onto something here, pal. Yeah. A movie about Vince Lombardi.
As long as they tell it the way
good.
It is.
Yeah.
Not gushy, love you, all this stuff. you know, tell it the way it is. I think that would be a great movie.
Is there a bad side to the Vince Lombardi story?
Have you ever read anything about Vince Lombardi or his kids or his wife? Things like that? Or do you got your blinder? You got your Packer blinders on?
I haven't read that much into it that I would know.
There's some stuff. But I think it'd be a great story.
Yeah.
And if they
get
it right, I think it'd be a very good movie.
Marie saying 40-year-old virgin was the first R-rated movie she watched with her parents. Also added, I was an adult, but I was still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Is there an R-rated movie you've watched with your kids?
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, I don't. How much editing are you doing of what your kids are watching or were watching?
When they were young, zero.
Yeah.
Prepare them for the world. You know? I don't know. How'd we get here?
Because people were suggesting that you go see Major League.
I think I just stretch things out today. I think I just stretch it out.
Just make things go as long as possible.
I got to bring 6 bags of solar salt down to the basement. That'd normally take me about 7 minutes. Probably going to be 25.
How many are you going to carry at a time? One at a time?
Probably one at a time.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bad sack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a bad
throw
sack.
Your
can't
back
push
or
it.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Lunch is probably 15. Stretch it to 25.
Well, what are you going to do for lunch?
Thinking Jersey Mike's.
Oh, I was thinking you're going to make like a meal. That way you can extend it even longer, make it an hour.
What, like a tip place? Like waitress place?
No, make food.
You make food.
You can use the grocery store
as an
excuse.
I'm making dinner.
Yeah, you just double it up. You like cooking?
I love cooking. Well, yeah. I don't love it. I like it.
You like doing it especially. You like doing it for you.
If I could cook what I wanted, I would love it.
Correct.
But.
You can't cook fish.
You can only make peanut butter and jelly so many different kind of ways. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure there's only.
No, you could put bananas on them.
Okay.
You could toast the bread, actually.
Right. Honey in it?
Open face,
okay,
honey.
Open face, PBJ.
Yes.
Man, getting real creative in the Chimera household.
Making pot roast tonight.
Oh,
very good.
Man.
But I can't put pearl onions in the pot roast. I'm like. I just wish there were no restrictor plates is what I wish.
You just want to make what you want to
make.
Yes. Well, that's unfortunately not the life you're currently living in now, pal. That's just not how it works. We are going to get to Ben Johnson, the new coach of the Chicago Bears. How do we feel about that as Packer fans as we continue? But hey, don't let this chilly weather end your golf season, because places like X Golf and American Family Field is open all year round. Innovative and accurate simulators. I love going there, working on my game during the off season because it keeps my swing in shape. That way, when the spring hits and I'm playing golf outside, I can hit the ground running. But with X Golf and American Family Field, yeah, you can use the state-of-the-art simulator. Certainly take advantage of the full bar. Great menu that they have. I like the burger. You got some people there. Try the pan pizza. It's all good. But it's such a unique space overlooking left field inside American Family Field. It's a great space for that next corporate event. It's a huge space. It's a unique space, unlike anything you've ever done before. So if you're hosting that next corporate event, keep X Golf and American Family Field in mind. Check it out online, xgolfampfamfield.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Go ahead. Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our guy, Josh. In Lake Geneva, hits us up on the Carpless Talking text line. Sandwich Talks always gets me riled up to cut. Now, for those who are longtime dedicated Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners, you'll know what that means. Chewy, since you probably don't remember, Josh is our friend who cuts his sandwiches very awkwardly, uses a V-cut to cut his sandwiches. It's psychotic. It's psychopathic.
I think it's great. No, I love it.
I don't even know why you would cut your sandwich like that.
Because it breaks up the monotony. Do you have to cut a sandwich?
Depends.
Diagonal cut's the best cut.
Yeah. Like this morning, before I made myself a little egg sandwich, diagonal cut.
Yeah, diagonal cut's the best.
Yeah.
The straight across is terrible.
Yeah.
That's just
awful. I don't know. Yeah, it's just not good.
Yeah, it's just...
Like diagonal cut gives you a nice easy entrance point, you know, when you're trying to eat the sandwich. It just, it's a clear order of operations. You cut it like straight down the middle. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Doesn't make any sense. So Ben Johnson is the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. I think I'm okay with this as a Packers fan because A, it certainly weakens the Detroit Lions. We'll see what they can do in terms of recovering from this. They are going to have a long offseason after being the number one seed and then losing by two touchdowns at home to Washington. And they're going to lose. It looks like they're going to lose their defensive coordinator as well. But also, and I'm not going to deny this, Ben Johnson is a very good offensive coordinator. Very good.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. The Bears have been messing this up for decades. Like, maybe they get it right this time. Maybe he's able to jive with Caleb Williams and things go. But also, like, I just don't know, I guess. These people who, you know, that we had been referencing earlier, that Jason said he saw on Twitter, which I saw as well, saying, oh, Matt LaFleur is the fourth best head coach in the division now. I have no idea how Ben Johnson is as a head coach. No clue.
Yeah, but that's what they always do with the first coach out of the gate. They always anoint him, right? Now, this is good and it's bad for the Packers. Okay? Cuz he's not going to make the Bears worse. He's not. Eberflus, we knew they should have fired him last year. It's terrible. He's going to make them better.
Yeah.
How much better? I don't know. But they're going to be better. You would assume. Now, Detroit losing their offensive and defensive coordinators is going to hurt, but Detroit's going to come back hungry. That's why I said the best thing for Green Bay would be for Detroit to win the Super Bowl and be like, oh, we made it, we're good, we can rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they didn't, they're not going to be as beat up defensively next year, correct?
Correct.
They lost their best player the fifth or sixth game of the year. So there's still going to be a problem.
Yeah, there's still going to be better. A problem certainly in Detroit, but losing both your offensive defensive coordinators.
I mean,
we saw what happened in, look, Philadelphia still won double-digit games. We're still a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
But we saw how big of a difference it made there. I have a hard time believing that Dan Campbell, as good of a job as he's done, is going to flounder as much as Sirianni did without their coordinators. And,
he hires two new ones
and then has to fire both of them to bring in Fangio and Kellen Moore.
Let's not forget, Robert Saleh is still out there, and he's going to get a job as a D coordinator. And Detroit would be...
head coach job.
I don't think so.
He's getting a second interview.
Yeah.
Where?
Jacksonville. Jags.
Yeah. That'd be dumb.
Trent Baalke's not the smartest executive in the world.
So I think they have to worry more offensively than they do about the defense.
Yeah.
You know? So.
If you look at Jared Goff and the difference between pre-Ben Johnson and post-Ben Johnson, it's worlds apart.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big thing for them because they got basically MVP-level play from Jared Goff, who to that point was a fringe starter. Basically in the NFL. I think it's interesting for the Bears is I tend to agree with Chewy. I don't know if they're going to get worse, but Diana Russini said it. The reason Ben Johnson picked the Chicago Bears was because of Caleb Williams.
Yep.
And that's ignoring a lot of issues in Chicago. That's ignoring the McCaskey ownership. That's ignoring Kevin Warren as team president and Ryan Poles as the general manager. Now, as we know, a good quarterback and head coaching combo takes you very far. It's all on is he able to harness Caleb Williams and how far can that take them? Because Caleb Williams isn't the style of guy that plays like Jared Goff. Ben Johnson wants you to take your reads, take your plays, and move on. Caleb Williams, his whole career has been improvisation and trying to make things happen, you know, outside of structure.
And he's not very good at it.
No. So he either needs to learn how to do that quick or... by the time Caleb Williams contract's up, one of them's no longer going to be a Bear.
See, back to Detroit, they're going to hire within would be my guess. Because it's not just, when you have an offense that good, it's not one guy. It's not one guy. Okay, so he's got to have some solid coaches on the offensive side of the ball. My guess is they're going to promote one of them. But play calling is an art, and he's very good at it. Ben Johnson, I'm saying.
Yes, except for the quarterback. I mean, the wide receiver throwing the ball.
Yeah, that was stupid. They tried to do too much. But that was more on Goff. And
they were moving the football just fine. You didn't need the trick play.
No, you didn't. So, I mean, that's the times they get a little too cute. We don't know, because Goff clearly wasn't on, but he got lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know, on the goal line there. So, I don't know how that affected them, but... But like I said, Detroit, yes, I could see them taking a dip. They're still going to be hungry. Their defense is going to be back and good. And I think Chicago will be better with Ben Johnson. So it's going to be another dogfight next year.
How do the Packers stack up with those teams we watched play this weekend? We dive into that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Jude.